It's an Aussie bloke in a ghetto's world. G'day, guys. It's been a long time. It's been a while since I've done a podcast like this. In fact, I think the last time was December, I believe, last year, within the zone. Don't quote me on that. I may be wrong, but I know it was last year. Could be earlier than that. I don't know. But anyway, it's been a long time. I've basically been, you know, headstrong in sort of establishing my other podcast, MMA Quick Chat, where I talk about the UFC as a podcast. But I thought, you know what? I want to have a rap podcast again because I love rap. I always have. You know, I'd love to have a space to talk about rap again. And so I decided to make another rap podcast. Of course, like in the zone, it'll be sporadic. It'll be done when I can or when I want to do it, or when something comes up, or when I want to do an album ranking, for instance, which I'm going to redo some of my older album rankings because, number one, I've got a better mic and studio set up now to do this podcast. And number two, you know, my thoughts might have changed on those albums since I last did those album rankings. So in future episodes, that will definitely come. But I just wanted to get this one out there today in light of recent events, and also some historical events that I talked about on in the zone, but have happened since in the zone, so I'd like to talk about them again. But yeah, I just wanted to get this one out there. I wanted to get it out there earlier than today. I'm recording on Thursday. It should hopefully be out by Friday, this podcast, either Friday or Saturday, one of the two, hopefully Friday. But yeah, I wanted to get it out earlier than today, but I was, of course, headstrong doing some other things. But I'm getting it out today, and I'm going to also put some snippets from this podcast on my YouTube channel, MC Ados. I'm not going to make a new YouTube channel for this podcast because it's kind of interconnected to me, and I may as well just put the stuff on my YouTube channel because I'm not going to post this podcast on YouTube like MMA Quick Chat is, because I already had a dedicated MMA... I already had a spare channel for In The Zone and... In The Zone and MMA Quick Chat. I'll post this on my own because I'm not going to post the whole podcast on YouTube. I'll just post them on all platforms and snippets on YouTube with links in certain places to get it on all platforms. So, yeah. Oh, and also, the other thing I will not have is music between breaks. I'll just have the audio stop and then I'll obviously play it again whenever I start to record again. So, gonna take a quick break and then I will get into the first topic that I want to discuss. All that and more when I come back, as I say on MMA Quick Chat. So, the first topic I would like to discuss, because I'm going to discuss them in order of them coming out, or happening, one of the two, and it also kind of ties into events that I'll talk about later on in the podcast, is the 2022 Super Bowl. Absolutely. I should point out, in particular, the halftime show with Dr. Dre, Eminem, 50 Cent, Mary J. Blige, etc. Phenomenal event. Eminem performed Lose Yourself. He had 50 Cent out there, his good friend Dr. Dre there on the mixer, you know, as he always is, you know. Phenomenal event. And it reminded you, in a time where the younger culture of rap is dominating, you know, what rap once was. And I think that's good. Don't get me wrong, it's great. But it's also sad that more events like that don't happen these days because there's so many rappers that just don't have talent like that. So, you know, I don't know. But yeah, it was a phenomenal event, as we all suspected it would be. And yeah, I just kind of wanted to talk about that because I did touch on it in the last episodes of In The Zone, but that was before it happened, of course. So I just wanted to talk about it and give my opinions on it. Not much more to say other than that, really. You know, it happened. It was a great event, of course. And yeah, you know, as we all suspected it would be. But yes, this was a short snippet. It was probably a lot shorter than I thought it was going to be. But I'll take another break to listen back to this and have a bit of a breather. And when we come back, we will get into the meat of the matter of this podcast. All that and more when I come back. 20 years ago, one of my favorite ever Eminem albums to exist in the Eminem Show dropped. He dropped it on May 26th, 2002, and it is, as we speak, the 18th of August, 2022. So 20 years with a bit of change, exactly. Phenomenal album that was, only second to Marshall Mathers LP to me, because there's so many classics on that album that that cannot not be his best album. Yeah, so many songs on that album that I loved, you know, Till I Collapse, Haley's Song, Sing for the Moment, Business, Soldier, you know, and then there's of course other songs like White America that I think a lot of people, well, some didn't like, but I think a lot of people did like, because it's one of Eminem's best, probably, political songs other than Mosh. Yeah, that album, that album was always, like, I always, for ages, I loved Till I Collapse. That was always one of my favorite songs, still is to this day. Sing for the Moment, that song wasn't is so good. I can always get so much joy out of listening to that song. Oh, also, I forgot to mention Superman, the song where he's sort of dissing Mariah Carey. So of course it wasn't Bagpipes from Baghdad or The Warning, but yeah, no, that album's always going to be special to me, man. And to think it's 20 years old, you know, 20 years ago Eminem really blew up with, you know, 8 Mile and this album, and Without Me blowing up. Oh, yeah, actually, sorry, that's another fucking song I forgot to mention off the album, Without Me. Fucking, how did I forget that? Jesus. But, yeah, so many good tunes on that album that really helped me in life, in high school, coming up, you know, and even now I can still listen to that album and get a lot of joy out of it. But, yeah, 20 years ago that album came out. Oh, it's crazy. Crazy, man. Not much. I did say this was going to be the meat of the matter, but not much more to say. Best believe, though, the next segment, which is going to tie into the Super Bowl segment, I'll have a lot more to say on that one. That'll be at least 5 minutes, I reckon. All that and more when we come back.
Just before we get into the next segment, I do want to apologise for any banging or wind noises you may hear that the mic picks up. It is quite windy outside and I believe raining, so that is why. So I do apologise for any of those sounds you may hear in the recordings. Now, on to the next segment.
The game versus Eminem. Let's talk about it. So, what happened? Let's take it back to the start. This is why I said it was going to tie in to the Super Bowl. So, the Super Bowl happens, right? And, you know, it happened. The people were there who were there. And, you know, no one really cared, to be honest. It was a phenomenal event, and people left and went home and felt like they got their money's worth, probably. But, of course, who came up out of the woodwork and had to stick his 2 cents in, just like he always did during his infamous beef with a certain other person who was on stage that day, who was a former group leader of his, who was his boss, basically, as he once said. But everyone's favourite man with a butterfly star tattoo on his face, The Game. And he came out on, I believe it was, well, he came out, he did a number of interviews, but the most infamous one was by far the one on Drink Champs, where he said, and I quote, "I used to think Eminem was better than me," which I'll stop what I am doing before I say any more and say that he did used to think Eminem was better than him, and he was quoted as saying that, I believe, about 10 years ago, thereabouts. He said, "Don't F with the white boy," basically. And then he turns around, what, 12 years later, or 10 years later, whatever it was, I said, and says on Drink Champs, and I quote, "I used to think Eminem was better than me. He's not." And he proceeded to then have a tirade, basically, over, you know, the fact that he thought that he'd beat Eminem in a versus battle and blah, 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 you know. And, of course, as he probably expected, that got a lot of attention. So he rode with it, kept going on different other interviews, saying other things about 50 and Dre and, you know, Eminem. And teased a diss track. This is where we get into the meat of the matter. Teased a diss track, but it never came out. Then, last Friday, August the 12th, he dropped his highly anticipated album, Drillmatic Heart Versus Mind. It was a 30-track album, I believe. I don't know if it's two discs. It might not be. He heavily copied Kendrick in the, you know, the way the album was structured. I'm just going to put that out there. Had a lot of features on it, actually. Had a lot of features. But on that album, on that 30-track album, was the 10-minute, highly anticipated Black Slim Shady diss track towards Eminem. I listened to it, and honestly, look, I want to preface this by saying that Game is a fucking great rapper. He really is. I always say it, right? Bar for bar, lyrically, Game shits on 50. Game is a way better rapper than 50, lyrically. But he could never make hit songs like 50 could, and it really showed here. Oh my. So, look, great track. Don't get me wrong, it was a great track. He flowed well, he rhymed well, and he had good syllables and punchlines in the track. It was a great track, right? In fact, as a track, it was a fucking head and shoulders above everything Nick Cannon came with. But as far as a diss, though, he kind of missed. He kind of missed. He really fell into this. Look, first of all, I never thought I'd say this, but I think we owe MGK an apology, because I can now, as much as I hated Rap Devil and the way that was produced for various reasons, I can now confidently say that Rap Devil was a lot fucking better than this diss track. It at least warranted a response from Eminem. As much as he really didn't want to do it, it warranted a response, that track. This one, I don't think M's even going to respond to, really. I don't think, why would you? It wasn't even a, you know. He really fell into the same trap MGK did of dissing M and admiring M. And you're like, what is this? What am I listening to? But a lot of the disses he was saying were either very, very mellow at best or overused. For instance, the Haley line, that infamous Haley line that everyone's been using since about 2004. but yeah, man. This was not it. Game, and it was so disappointing because, like I said, Game is such a great rapper. You know, the guy who's responsible, or who was responsible for 300 bars and running, which, you know, I was as much of a 50 Cent fan as anyone, and even I'll admit he destroyed 50 lyrically on that track. Yeah, nah, he missed with this. He really did. And the thing that makes it worse is he didn't even just release it on his YouTube and SoundCloud or whatever. He put it on his album. Ether goes on an album. No Vaseline and Hit 'Em Up goes on an album. Hell, even Ja Rule put back, what was it called? Clap Back on his fucking album. This should not have gone on an album. And honestly, it should not have been 10 minutes long, because it reminded people of 300 Bars and Running, which was a great diss track. It really was. And it just wasn't. It was not. It was nowhere near 300 Bars and Running. I'm just going to say that right now. Yeah, it was, everyone, for the first time ever, for the first time in a long time, people were really anticipating Game's album, and I think a lot of people are just let down by it now. They reckon that M's Curtain Call album, which is a compilation of songs from the last 10 years, is going to do better than Game's album. Game's album with 30 new songs is going to do, you know. So, yeah, I think he's alienated a lot of people with this. And, yeah, to change your tune from saying things like in your collaboration with them, he murdered you on his verse, which he did, but you shouldn't have said that. You know, saying things like, God, you don't mess with the white boy. He's, you know, he's a good rapper, blah, blah, blah. To, I used to think M's better than me. He's not. And then dissing him or making a quote-unquote diss on him really is just funny. It is. And it's, I think it shows more of Game and the fact that he's still exactly like he is and how he's always been, you know, under G-Unit, etc. I mean, actually one of the funniest parts of the track for me was when he said that, you're annoying. What did he say? He was like, you're annoying Interscope or whatever. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it you who got ignored by Jimmy Iovine? Oh my, that was one of the funniest lines of the whole track for me. Oh my, but yeah, it, there was so much hype regarding this. There was so much marketing, and it was just really a letdown from Game. And it's disappointing because, yeah, he's got so much more potential, but he just let everyone down. But, yeah, anyway, guys, that's going to be the first episode of An Aussie Bloke in a Ghetto's World, because I am an Aussie bloke recording raps in a Ghetto's World. So that's not a racist title. A lot of people might think it is, but it's not, because I am in a predominantly American world. So, anyway, I'm not going to talk any more about that, but definitely gonna get more into, for instance, I may do another Eminem album ranking, may do another Ice Cube album ranking, Dr. Dre album ranking, etc. I might even, in light of this, I might even do an episode on Eminem versus MGK. Why not? You know, recap it all. What, 4 years later? Why not, you know? But, yeah, anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed this short-ish, about 20-minute first episode of the podcast. Just to, you know, get back into the swing of things, talking about rap again. And hopefully I can get around to doing the next episode soon, and that should be a good one. Till then, take it easy, guys. Just should add as well, I forgot to mention, that the reason it all ties in with the Super Bowl is, of course, not only the people who were there, but also that Game did come out eventually in another interview, I forget which one, and say that he was upset by the fact that he wasn't invited to the Super Bowl. And I believe another quote, I don't think this was from the same interview, it might have even been from one of his earlier interviews, was that he wasn't the safe choice, which, no, you weren't, clearly. And, I mean, who the hell would... sorry to say it, but, I mean, you could only get so many artists up there. Dre wanted Mary J. Blige, which, that was a good choice, because who wouldn't want to hear, you know, her singing her bloody Great Hooks at the Super Bowl? And M wanted 50, which, bro, say what you want about 50, but there was nothing bigger in 2003 than him. From, yeah, 2003 to 2005 or thereabouts, and him. Game, he had one great album. Actually, no, I'll say, yeah, he had more than one great album, because Doctor's Advocate was good too. Because, of course, as we know the story, Jimmy Iovine put him on a label with basically no budget, and he locked himself in a studio in New York for 2 months and recorded that album. That was a great album. And he's had a few other great albums. The Red Album was good, you know, for so on and so forth. But the Game was nowhere near as big as any of those other artists. That's why I didn't get invited to the Super Bowl. And also, let's not forget the fact that he, by all accounts, has apparently fallen out with Dre again. And... isn't on great terms with Interscope, who of course Jimmy Iovine has a heavy involvement with all of what Dre does, basically. So yeah, but yeah, Game did eventually come out and admit what we all suspected, in that he was upset by the fact that he wasn't invited to the Super Bowl. And that's why it all ties in with the Super Bowl, basically. This whole beef, if you can even call it that. I don't think it's going to be a beef. Like I said, I don't think Eminem's going to respond. And if he does, at best, it might be a short little response on an album or something. Like, you know, Nick Cannon apparently got in You Gonna Learn, which I do think was aimed at Nick Cannon, that ending line of Eminem's verse. But yeah, anyway, guys, just... thought I should add that, because I forgot to mention how it all ties in with the Super Bowl, as I said. And yeah, take it easy, like I said.